Hey, Culture and Conversations family. The following episode contains adult language and content that may not be suitable for children. Listener discretion is advised. No, really. Don't say I didn't warn you. Turn it off now if you've got kids around listening. Thanks.
It's hashtag the group chat, man, the weekly live stream of the Culture and Conversations podcast. Y'all make some noise out there. Appreciate y'all. Man, we're going to get some more applause there. Here we go. Yeah, man. We have missed y'all, man. I'm Jameson Smallwood, and the co-host, the regular co-host for all these episodes, partner in crime, partner in business, is hashtag It's Ramon. Ramon Hingleton's in the building. What's going on, Ray? How you doing, fam?
I'm good. How you been?
Man, dude, it's been a good week, man. Glad it's almost over. You know, it's about to get a little busy towards the weekend, but we're going to be all right, you know. We're going to hang in there. Just got to wait on some things to be confirmed and some plans and stuff like that. People got me stressed out this weekend, so we'll see. We'll wait till these text messages come through and see if everything on the docket is still on the docket, you know what I'm saying? So how about you, man? You got anything going on this week? I know you were talking about work a little
bit. Yeah, work, man. I mean, it was a heavy week this week with corporate being in town and whatnot. Yeah. They're gone now.
Yeah. And you survive, man.
I thrive, sir.
You thrive. My bad. Words mean things. I forgot about that. Words mean things. So it was good. Yeah, man. Work was good. Some cool things for the podcast are going on. You know, we got two new guests that we got booked coming up. I guess I'm going to go ahead and announce one of them because she's coming on next Thursday, and I want people to know about her. So
go ahead and build it up.
That's it, because she wants a flyer and everything to promote her. It's cool. Look, man, when she says she'd do it, it's cool.
That was going to be a hilarious show.
I think so, man. It is. Her personality is one, you know, that lends itself to that. Plus, she's a comedian and she's an actress. It's going to be good.
We're going to see if she got jokes or not.
I think so, man. She's going to be good. Her name is Kiana Dancy. Miss Kiana Dancy is always how I refer to her. And, you know, she's been doing a couple of different things right now. She's got a movie on Netflix that she has a role in. And she's got a lot of comedy shows that she's been doing recently. She's been, you know, hitting the city of Atlanta pretty hard with the comedy scene. Plus, she's been doing some things nationally. So this is going to be a good show, and I can't wait to have her on as a guest. So you guys are going to see a lot of stuff on social media about her appearance. And then we've got some other guests, too. We're not going to even mention them right now. There's too many, right? It's too many. So, But you guys do us a favor, man. Share this stream. I'm trying to share. Facebook has changed how I share stuff. And as a result, it has become more problematic to share to one of the groups that I like to share to. So what I'm going to have to do is do a manual share where I copy the link and then go over to the group and do it. So, but we want you guys to be comfortable, man, tonight. Let's see. What else has been going on with the show, man? Nothing really, but the audio podcast. I didn't post anything this week. I'm going to fix that, though. I just haven't had time to fix it yet. So we'll get that out to you guys and who people are listening to us on audio podcast. And everybody will be good. So y'all bear with me here. Let's see. Hashtag group chat.
We broke the 500 like mark.
Oh, yeah. My bad. That's another one. Yeah. The page hit 500 likes, man. And we've been broke 500 follows. We're like now 500 and almost 80 follows on that page. For Culture and Conversations on Facebook, and it's been organic too. Like, it's just been ticking up, and I was just like, let me ask people to go who haven't done it to go do it, just to get us over that hump, you know. But it was going to happen. I just got impatient, you know. So, I was just like, I want it now, you know what I'm saying? Let me do this the podcast. That way, we get some viewers here from that group we've been getting a lot of pop from. Let's hit paste. That's beautiful there, man. Beautiful. I said post. All right, we should get some people coming in now as we go through this, man. So, but yeah, man, we got a good show tonight, man. Let me hit record here, make sure we don't miss anything. We got a good show tonight. The first topic on the docket, man, outside of us talking about how awesome our podcast is and how things done turned up, is we're talking about black players at white schools. And the topic was put up based on this Jemele Hill article on theatlantic.com, where Jemele talked about, or at least proposed in her op-ed piece, that black athletes who go to predominantly white institutions, PWIs, should now consider going to, you know, HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. And her point was, is that college athletics make so much money, is that, you know, that money could better serve these institutions that are struggling for funds like HBCUs. And she talks about just a lot of sort of the history of segregation and how it created the HBCU ecosystem for these athletes initially. And then she's talking about how integration tore that down, where historically or predominantly white institutions began to recruit these athletes to come and play at their universities. So, you know, I know we both are big sports fans and we talk a lot of sports in our spare time. And I think sometimes it's just like the whole perception of the of this conversation gets a little bit skewed too, especially if people have an agenda. Because I heard some craziness on Fox News where people, they were saying, talking about resegregation. We shouldn't be resegregating. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that doesn't even, I can't even call that segregation, right? like black players choosing to go to black schools or historically black colleges. That's not segregation. Segregation is a government instituted mandate by law saying that races have to be separate. So it depends on your agenda. You hear some crazy stuff. So we talked a little bit about it, Ray, earlier a couple weeks ago. So I want to kind of bring the topic back up and then kind of broaden the conversation, obviously, because we got some more stuff on the agenda. But when you hear that first, what's your first kind of impression about that when you hear, hey, black athletes should go to historically black colleges because it helps the historically black college and ultimately the black community?
I mean, when you first hear it, you're like, yeah, do that. Like, that's a great look.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you start breaking it down, you understand that it'll be a difficult challenge.
Yeah.
Just because, well, to reiterate what Jemele said, football does generate a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
especially college football. But the thing is, all that money doesn't necessarily come from just the people coming to the games, mm-hmm. Ticket sales, things of that nature. You have to understand, like, how much TV players like ESPN or Disney or Fox or whoever mm-hmm. play into this.
NBC.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's got that sweetheart
got
deal.
Their own, yeah. So you've got certain brands, certain relationships that generate a ton of money that wouldn't exist if all these players decided to start going to HBCUs. So the type of money that you're seeing just generically or globally right now wouldn't just automatically transfer just because high-profile players started going to these other schools. Like, if whoever decided, oh, we want to go to FAMU now, FAMU's not going to be able to sit at the table with ESPN and broker a $1.8 billion TV contract to get X amount of games and all this viewer exposure, mm-hmm. like a SEC team or whoever it may be. So it's a lot more than just the players deciding to go to these schools and then thinking that the money's just going to be there like it is at these other places. It's just not going to happen like that.
That's it. To your point, it's a bigger conversation, right?
Yeah.
It's the relationship that these schools have already established with these major networks. Because that's a part of the article is talking about facilities as well. So just because you start getting an influx of really talented athletes, without the money being there and the facilities being there to give them the opportunities that they would get at a predominantly white institution, training, nutrition, medical care, also just like you said, just pure out exposure, you know, there's still going to be a hard sell to get any of those athletes to go to those schools and get the most out of their time there. The money, to your point, going back to the original point you're making about the money, it won't be there because the relationships are established in, like, with the networks, the television networks, these companies that are looking for content, sports content. So that's where the relationship is, and that's ultimately where the money comes from, because that's why all of these conferences really have become the big Power Five conferences.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because they want that championship game in football. They want more inventory of games to sell. They want to create their own networks. So all of this comes back to controlling television dollars And like you said, ticket sales generate money, but it's really that TV money, and that's where the money comes from, that everybody's trying to covet and they want from these the want to make off the backs of these black athletes. So, you know, I don't think that's just a simple flip the switch conversation. Oh yeah, you go to this school and now all of a sudden everything's going to change. Like, how do you think these predominantly white institutions would change if black kids started going to if black kids start going to, you know, HBCUs?
You probably see them push for paying players.
Ooh. You think that if the black student athletes start going to HBCUs, then the white schools will be like, we're gonna pay y'all to come here and play.
They'll push for that. Because obviously when we're just talking about the difference in finances, like, okay, well, you can go here and they might be able to pay you XYZ. Well, we can pay you XYZ plus whatever else.
And then some.
Yeah. So yeah.
And I think that would be an interesting shift in things, right? Because if you as a predominantly white institution began to pay players,
legally,
that's it, legally, not under the table, yeah. like we were talking about offline, yeah. Talking about them handshakes that be having them $100 bills crumpled up in it,
yeah.
You know, then you're right. I mean, it would be a situation where how do you then you know compete with that. Because that's the problem. That's really what the problem is. And I think that's what Jamel's article doesn't really tackle. You're dealing with the black wealth gap between that and white people. White capital is so powerful because of slavery, you know, the history here we got. You can't compete with that without some type of redistribution of wealth, some type of a shift economically, some type of a shift systemically. We call it reparations if you've been following the conversation. And without that, white capital is always going to incentivize black athletes to come play for them, right? I mean, you see that happen in the NFL, not brought into conversation too much, but you see that happen in the NFL where when they went on strike, when they had labor disputes and they came back, they crumbled pretty quick. Like, they were like, we need that check, you know, we need that check. So, you know, when you let's see here, we got some comments here. First off, just going to say that Simone says that you know, you ain't got your tank top on.
I saw it, man.
You know, so.
And then after she said that, she went to say something about my underarms or something. Love us, man.
No.
We treat the 65 great. And look what we get in return,
bro. We get articles posted about men being financially unattractive, and that's why they ain't rocking with us no more.
We gonna get to that.
It's coming. Yeah. But no, shout out to Simone, man. Shout out to Jaretha. I see y'all rocking with us, man. And Jaretha made a comment here. She says, I would love to see this happen. I support this movement. Just think it will be extremely challenging. She's talking about the influx of black athletes into HBCUs.
But then on another end of it, though, you have to understand, like, a lot of these kids, they are the focal point of changing the dynamic of their family. I mean, so
that's a great point.
A lot of time the decision isn't solely their decision or just about them. So if you're sitting here and you've got a high-profile son that's going to go play football somewhere, and you got Alabama, you got Clemson, you got LSU, you got Ohio State, you got all these prominent schools that are known for developing kids and getting them to the NFL and pretty much putting them in a position to change the lives of their entire family from a financial standpoint, and then you got HBCU over here.
As a
parent, regardless of intentions and all that.
That's true.
Where is that discussion going? Like, you're doing pros and cons. Mm-hmm.
Making rational decisions. Exactly,
rational decisions.
Rational decisions.
Yeah.
Where is it going?
Yeah.
And like you said, one of the things that we don't talk about is part of the dynamic that incentivizes these black kids to go to these factory schools, these PWI schools, is that they're coming from economically disadvantaged situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're coming from a place where they don't have the money and they have this great talent and this great hope that, hey, if I make it to the NFL, first round draft pick. I'm going to seismically shift my family tree just by that. So, you know, they don't want to risk it going to some place where they're going to be part of a freedom movement to start the movement of these players going to these schools at the risk of losing out on all these millions of dollars at the next level in the NFL, you know. And it's tough because, you know, it is the greatest human capital in the Black community, in part, is athletics. You know, we fuel athletics with our talent, our bodies, and our culture, right? Like, we, you know, we hype it up, you know, and we see it at every level of sport, whether it's high school football. You know, we talk about, let's just say high school, not talking about football per se, because we can talk about this from a basketball standpoint. You know, we're talking about just high school athletics, college athletics, all the way up to the NFL or to professional sports. You know, you see that. And it's a tough one, you know. I think a lot of people want to see some type of reform happen at that level. But the question is, I don't know. Let me say this too, because I'm a bit of a Jemele Hill critic. I don't really like Jemele Hill. just to keep the smoke 100% clear. Don't really like Jemele Hill. And I think I didn't like Jemele when she was trying to be a sports column, a sports reporter, and a news anchor on ESPN, and she sort of tried to use that platform to be an activist. I didn't really like that Jemele Hill because I felt like she was mixing too much stuff up into her thing. Like, just, you know, let's focus in on, and I'm not saying she couldn't use her platform, uh-huh. right? But like, she was, I don't think she was the political savant that she needed to be trying to be that loud spokesperson. I have a real problem with that, but that's a whole another conversation for another night. But in this point, let me give her some credit, because I think she did bring up a unique idea, right? Like, let's leverage this great economic fuel of college athletics, Black sports talent, and let's pair that with a social mission, right? Of, hey, go to these HBCUs, revitalize these HBCUs by using your athletic prowess to bring in, hopefully, dollars into that space. We've got some comments here. Jaretha says, plus, think of the bowl games and how many corporations have a stake in this. It would be a hard fight to make it happen. That's another great point.
That's what I'm talking about. Again, it goes back to those relationships,
that's it.
Man.
That's it. Right? That's it. And those people fight for those relationships, you know. And it's not just that simple. Let's see here. Then you've got the parents need – Simone says the parents need to be the ones to teach their kids about the pros and cons of the chances of basically getting into professional sports.
And that was my next point. Okay, mm-hmm. So now when you talk about that aspect of it, and now when you start weighing the academic standards of the HBCUs and the weight of their degree, well, we all know a college degree pretty much anyway don't have no weight anymore, whatever. But exactly. Yeah, but when you're comparing them and you're just talking specifically academics, then mm-hmm. That's the other part of it.
The perception of the perception. And Jemele tries to make an argument in that Atlantic piece, you know, because I did something weird that I don't normally do. I actually read an article.
I didn't read it. I just heard about it, and I was going to go with my organic conversation.
I think everybody's got a perspective that, you know, because but let me say this too. I read the article, and this is more smoke towards Jemele. Like, I could have wrote that. Just being honest, like, she did have a quote in there from William Roden, who's a really dope Black sports reporter. But yeah, I could have wrote that. Like you know, yeah. Anyway, but in the article, she does try to tackle the validity of the HBCU. Right? She's like, hey, you know, they have fueled the Black middle class, right? You know, they have such a small student population, yet they produce such a large percentage of Black professionals, judges, you know, the people that we typically think of as professionals, you know, that kind of thing. So she does try to establish the validity of that, of their academics. But to your point, regardless of what the data says, right, there's always perception. And that's where you run back into racism and bigotry and all that stuff. It's just in the perception of the sport. So. And then Monique brings up a good point. Another, you know, like, another bit of smoke for Jemele. She's like, Jemele didn't even go to HBCU. She went. Yeah, you're right, Monique. I believe she went to Michigan State. She was a Spartan. And And Monique says also, it's the perception. HBCUs have amazing academic programs. I completely agree with that. Like, I'm not, I'm definitely not.
Oh, I'm not, I wasn't knocking but I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah,
just...
yeah, I know you're talking about the perception. Like, you, because you're dealing, I think that's one of the things that we have to, in this conversation and the conversations we've always had. And let me shout out to Gloria Goosby for really helping me kind of get woke on this. It's about white capital. That's what we're dealing with. Like, at the end of the day, everything we want comes back to us asking white folk for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything we want, like, oh, we want our colleges to be better. We need white money to do that. You know, we want athletics to be better. We need white money to do that. You know, it always comes back to white capital, and that goes back to dealing with the wealth disparity. But until you address that, none of these conversations really can materialize the
that's
way
all they
want
are
to.
It's conversation.
That's it. That's it. Because wealth gives you options and power. And if you don't have wealth, even as a community, you can't really make some of these decisions. So, and Moni brings up another great point, because we don't really talk, because I know where Moni's kind of at on this one. I think I do. She brings up another great point. She says PWI has established black professionals also. Simone says, you always see the mama on TV cheering that her baby is going to go pro, but why not push our kids academically? I mean, even like if you watch a show Last Chance U, when you really see how these kids, like where they come from academically, their background, and just how bad it is, like you really begin to see another part of the problem. That a lot of these high schools that they come from and these communities they come from, they literally just push them through the system, and they don't educate them and don't really give them the resources that they need. They don't, the communities don't have the resources that they need. It's just simply because they have this great football talent. So if you think about it, it's like, it's literally they're saying, okay, you run fast, you catch the ball, and you big as hell. You're going to play football. And
we make sure you stay eligible, and we'll push you.
That's it. Yeah. We're going to push you. We'll give you all the help we can, but you getting an education, that's not really a problem for you, because right now you don't need an education to do what you're going to do. You're big and fast, and I don't care how many books you read, you can't teach that, like being big and fast. So you can go play football. And that's like the mindset. It's like we just push you through. We push you through. Push you through. And until you deal with where these kids come from, and also the cultural stigma of athletics being the way out versus academics and rigor.
Either that or rapping.
Oh, yeah, or rapping or modeling, Instagram modeling. Shout out to the Instagram models, right. You know, like yeah, you know, it's just like, yeah, what do you do? Like, and we want to give kids options, and we want them to have all those options, but you're right, like even Simone's point is a great one. It's like, hey, I'm pro-academics all day. You know, people think I played football, but that wasn't it. I just was, you know, a computer programmer guy, right? So, yeah, like how do you encourage the culture to shift in our people to see academics when you got to learn some shit, but when you're big and fast and strong, that's just God given. You ain't got to learn nothing to do that, you know. So anyway, what you think about all of that, man?
Man, it starts at, I mean, it's the surround, it's the environment, because I mean, I was the opposite. I was playing and I was actually getting pushed more to play and keep going. And I was like, man, it's just a game for me. Like, I know how to read and write. Like, I'm good. I'm good. It's a game to me. Like, it's a game. It's a game. Like,
there's such a low bar there. Like, I know how to read and write.
Yeah, like this is not the only way out. That's like, it. You understand? That's so it was the opposite for me. But I understand, because, I mean, some of these situations that these kids come from are serious. Like,
that's it.
Especially like some of these kids coming out of South Florida that go to Alabama. Like, you want to know why a kid out of South Florida would go all the way over to Alabama to play football?
Yeah, yeah. There's some shit in their neighborhood, yeah. In their community. They're yeah, like, get away from this, man.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, people just asking, you know, Simone's asking a lot of good questions. She's just talking about, like,
If you were a parent in this situation, what would you do? Would you push for the HBCU? Or would you be like, man, I understand. I really do.
So, I'm gonna get some smoke here.
No, you're not. We're talking.
No. I ain't gonna get no smoke from you. I'm just letting the people who want to give me smoke get their smoke ready.
Because you also have to understand, like, it's gonna take waves and waves and waves of players continuously to even make a blip on the radar for this to even become anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take generations.
I mean, if you got a handful of players go over there, it's just a handful of players.
Mm-hmm. Because it's going to take generations of that influx of talent.
Exactly, because you got to
raise... Plus marketing.
You got to raise everybody.
That's
like, everybody. So you can be like, oh, they got XYZ player over there. Okay, but what else? Everybody else is still terrible.
Yeah.
They're still not on TV. They still aren't generating the type of ad dollars and corporate sponsorships and whatever else. So
that's it. Let me see here. I saw Ian make a comment in here. Depending on his status on the team, he may have to transfer.
Mo, keep it 100. Me too, man. Available. Me too.
What did she say?
She pushing for the PWI.
Oh, and that's what I was about to like, say. You asked me what I would do. Bro, that's what I was about to say.
If we're sitting down and we're being logical about the situation where it currently is.
That's it. That's it. Bruh, and what I'm saying is...
We'll have to find some other way to fight the cause.
That's it. And that's my thing, right? Like
who's going to take that L? Like, who's going to sit there with the opportunity to change the forecast of their family tree and take the L? Like, who's going to do the Kaepernick thing?
That's
like,
it.
Who going to
do
that?
Really, you're right. You're right. And who in the community is going to support them, too, while they do that?
Yeah, like...
Because the thing is it's one thing to be an activist... But you got to have a support foundation while you take the L from white capital. So you got to do that. Like, so you asked me what I would do. I got a couple. This is my thing about HBCUs. I think black people, we romanticize HBCUs to a point where, yes, they had this space in our community where they were. That's where we came from academically. That's where our people came from. But the people out of the HBCUs, they fought for a reason for integration. Like they fought for integration. The reason they fought for integration was because all of our resources have been harvested from our community and have been infused into white society, into white culture, into white economic infrastructure. And that's where our place really is. So I think HBCUs still serve a cultural significance. They serve a race. They help us they understand our racial identity. But there is a huge, and I hate to say this because it's going to sound so harsh when I say it, there's just such a huge romanticizing of those schools where I'm just being honest. I think I'm pretty woke as a black man about race and stuff in our country and in my own experience. I might still be too conservative for some folk, which is cool, right? That's it. That's whatever, you know. But at the end of the day, I didn't get that exposure to that information through an HBCU. I got that from my parents. I got that from people in my community. I got that from even as some things at Georgia Southern that I got exposed to, some thoughts and ideas. And then also just my own continuing evaluation of life and how things work. So this idea that we need HBCUs to be maintained and kept up simply because they represent this great moral and social place of advocacy for our people, I think that's still great, right? And that's a fair argument, but I think it's a bit of a romanticized argument too, because so many people are graduating also from from predominantly white institutions that you don't have to say, okay, we got to rely on HBCU. Now, with that said, I'm not saying the HBCUs are bad or anything like that. I think that's fine, but the necessity of them, I think especially when you think about post-integration. Yeah, it's just not the same because integration weakened the necessity for everything that was built on segregation. And HBCUs were built because of white segregation towards black folk. You take that stopper out, now you're gonna see those institutions drained of the best, the brightest, and the smartest. And now what you have is you have people who go to those schools out of legacy, like, hey, my parents went here. Or you have people who go there because of nostalgia. Like, hey, you know, this is where I need to go and I want to get that black school experience.
I almost went because of nostalgia.
Okay. Like, what was your...
I almost was an Aggie, man. That's what came down. Yeah. Okay. I was going to go to Southern or I was going to go to North Carolina A&T.
That's it.
But my aunt was a professor at North Carolina A&T. I'm like, I can't do nothing.
You can't do nothing. You can't know that.
No.
That's it. And Monique is saying it now. She's saying integration wasn't good for us. It wasn't. Like, when you talk about, you know, that that system that kept all of the black talent centralized, that was segregation. And time they pulled that stop around and say, hey, now you can go to these white schools. And
as soon as Alabama came calling.
That's it. As soon as Alabama came calling, then that's when the talent, no pun intended, but it rushed like a red tide, roll tide into different schools and spaces. So I don't know. I mean, that's my take on HBCUs. Monique says, nah, we need HBCUs. And like I said, I'm not here to tear them down. I'm not saying that you don't need them in the sense of, you don't need them for everything. But I think that their necessity, I think there's a question about, hey, is this a vestige of just a time gone past? And I understand why we hold on to them and they're sacrosanct to us. But, I think that's what the issue we've got there. So. So back to the original question about athletics.
So now I'm gonna throw a hypothetical situation out. Let's say that this whole transformation does happen.
Okay.
Do you trust all the heads at the table at these schools to do what they're supposed to do with this money?
And that's the other piece of the conversation, right? What Jamel said, she described exchanging one system of exploitation for another system of exploitation. And the question is, just because it's black folks doing the exploiting.
Who you want to get exploited by?
That's it. Who you want to get exploited by? Well, it's better to be exploited by black folk because it's black folk versus getting exploited by white people, right? And don't get me wrong. If anybody's exploiting anybody, it needs to be black folk, right? We need to get ours. But I get it. At the same time, I get it. And I think that segues us into our next topic that we got here because we're going to spend some time on it, is pay to play. Like paying athletes who are at these different institutions playing these different athletic sports. Like, are you in favor of paying athletes?
How do you do it? Like, how do you make it fair or?
Well, I got you. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that second. All right. Second.
When you look at how much money is generated by these student athletes, they need something.
There's a check owed somewhere.
Exactly. Like, somebody needs something.
That's it. Run that check.
Yeah.
That's it.
But I don't know how you make it fair for everybody. Like, I don't.
And when you mean fair, but like you're talking about the swimming
player? Everybody, because and if football pays for everything else. Like, so athletic departments, pretty much their operating budget, all that money comes from what football generates.
That's it.
So if my sport generates the money that your sport lives off of, why should you be getting or get compensated in the same manner that I am?
You know what I'm gonna tell people? They shouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you're saying that there's a difference between a sport that you participate in that's going to be different. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let's say if you had a HBCU versus Alabama. Now, you telling me that a player at Alabama should get paid as the same as the football player at the HBCU?
No.
Okay. Then so now what? Now, are you telling me that a person that starts for Alabama versus a bench warmer should get paid the same?
Now, that might be a little bit of a hair that you could split. But at the same time, I would say no. See, I'm a cold-blooded capitalist when it comes to this.
So how do you regulate the tiers? Like, okay, this player is going to get this amount. Damn. This player is going to get this amount. This player is going to get... Is every school going to have the same amount to even give to the pay a player?
No.
Exactly. So now basically players are going to be being bought. Like, okay, I can go over here and get this amount from this school, but Alabama can pay me this much.
That's it.
I'm going to Alabama.
Yeah, but that's cool.
So basically, it's free agency. Is basically what it is.
Exactly. I support that 100%, sir. Because the thing is,
so you've corrupted the sport. You've literally just took in anything that was good and
and
killed it.
That's it. Let's get the money to the kids. That's it. I'm a cold blooded capitalist, man. I don't think we need water polo. I don't think we need swimming. If you can't generate revenue,
Stanford been out there stacking championships. For decades, centuries, off of water polo and basket weaving and everything else they got out there.
Exactly. And that's cool. And I know some women might come
what
in.
What is that? What's it called? Skulls? Is that the rowing?
Yeah, the rowing team. Get rid of all that shit. Like, if it don't make money, it don't make sense.
The only thing that make money outside of some basketball programs that can stand alone. So, obviously, North Carolina, Kentucky, some things like that.
Yeah.
But pretty much everybody needs football or.
Mm-hmm. And that's my point. It's like the part of the exploitation of these athletes comes back to the fact that, to your point, their sport is supporting all of this other bullshit at these schools.
And it's not bullshit.
It is bullshit. If you, at the end of the day, and I'm gonna tell you what happened, and this is where I'm gonna.
Are you saying that because the return on investment is zero?
That's why I'm saying it. And the only reason it exists because of Title IX. What happened was, yeah, I mean, I'm not being condescending. You get it. I mean, Title IX. Just for the listeners, I don't never mean to be condescending. I'm always thinking about the listeners who are going to hear this. Because of Title IX, yeah, if you had male sports,
got to have female sports.
You got to have female sports, same amount. Right? Same amount, yep. Right? So my thing is, I think to preserve Title IX to some extent, and this is where I can play, I'll play a little nice, is that you do need some revenue set aside for female athletics, right? To give females I'm saying female athletics, I almost said females, but to give women, girls at your school an opportunity to have sports to play, right? But outside of that, get rid of all the other shit. Because the only reason the other shit exists is because you're taking money from the football players and basketball. If you're at a really big school with basketball, get rid of the rest of that. Keep as much money to pay the players as possible, which means you're gonna have fewer athletes at your school, which is what you would have anyway if you didn't have this fake infrastructure and these fake barriers put up to keep the players from getting paid to begin with. That's my take on it. So that's my take on it. But I get all those questions, and that's all the stuff that they come up with. Like, oh, what, how you gonna pay these people? How you gonna pay these people? Like, you know, so what? Because in the real world, right? In the real world, outside of college, if my job is basket weaving, I might love it. I might be all pro at it.
But you ain't gonna be economically attractive.
I'm not gonna be economically attractive. No, sir.
I got some five baskets though.
That's it. I got this wicker on point, sir. You ain't messing with me and my wicker baskets over here.
It'd be hot. You'd be the man come Easter time.
That's it. That's it. Come Easter time. That's when the streets jumping. That's my season. That's it. That's it. I got my product in these streets. They jumping. You know, your Easter money got to come see me, sir. You know, but I think that's where I'm in favor of paying the players because.
Oh, just to go back to.
Go ahead.
Simone said she wouldn't trust them people with the money.
Oh, yeah. Nah, because it's just, I mean, that's the thing. Until you get to the point where you're paying the players from all this revenue they're generating, it's all going to be exploitive. And Jamel, and I think that's one of the disappointing pieces of Jamel's article, is that the only reason you can even talk about shifting the money to the HBCUs is if you don't pay the players. It's like at the end of the day, you're just exploiting them for this under the guise of black advancement and black liberation from white capital.
And I just want to comment on what Mo said. She said that PWIs have issues too. I know, and that's why I brought it up. Yeah, because exactly. Everybody's human, and those flaws are in all of us.
That's it.
So that's why I brought it up. That's I wasn't trying to stereotype, saying, oh, our people are more credulous than.
Yeah.
No, all of them are dirty.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah, so that's why I said it.
That's
yeah.
it. That's it. Everybody dirty. Yeah. That, you know.
it's like politics.
That's
like.
It. That's it. exactly. So, I mean, I think that's where I'm at with it. So, you were talking about some other stuff, like, you know, like the whole starter versus the reserve.
If I'm a starter,
I want more money.
Yeah. Like, he don't even play.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Now, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I think you can handle that, like, with some type of a bonus or something like that, or some type of setup where you got something in place. But you got it. To your
Who's
point, you got
regulating this, though? That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I think
so,
that's.
So, do you just. Do they just take the money and split it up and then say however you disperse it is up to you and your program?
I would say so. Because I look at it this way. Like in the article, the University of Alabama made $174 million in athletics. I think I can't believe it was that little, but you know, I felt that number felt a little low.
They got high operating costs.
Exactly. I don't know I don't know.
They got high operating costs.
And one of the things about Jamil's article, too, that wasn't the best, she didn't necessarily make a distinction between gross revenue and profit. Like, yeah. She just was using the word revenue, and I don't know if she was, you know.
You got to frame it.
Exactly. I'm not saying she's not smart enough to know the distinction between profit and revenue.
Or she is, and she know how to put it out there, because exactly. She knows other people ain't going to ask.
Exactly. So we're trying to figure this out.
Yeah, so.
So when you talk, let's just say use that number, $174 million. Then I think that's where the money starts at. And then if you get some NCAA money, then that money needs to, that money, I think that money could be equitably split across all of, you know, athletics to make it more equitable, kind of like profit sharing
in the NFL, in the NBA, all the other stuff.
Exactly, all these other leagues, they have the same similar concept.
Where the owners get more than the players.
Exactly, exactly. So like you get some money that comes into your team just because you're a part of the NBA or the MLB or any of these other pro sports leagues. You get that money. That money is completely made outside of your ticket sales and how well you run your team. All of that. That's just free money that comes into the league because of where you at, you know, like the luxury tax money that the Yankees have to pay and all that stuff. Like, that's just free money that you just get. Like, oh, I got $2-3 million check here, you know, just because the Yankees out here, you know, buying all the players up, you know.
You know, most teams don't even make money off of ticket sales, really.
Oh, we just got made better there. I don't think they're
pay insurance in all them seats.
Exactly.
I don't whether think someone's sitting in it or not.
Oh, wow. Wow. I didn't know.
So when you watching a Braves game and you see all them empty ass seats and ain't nobody sitting in them because it's 135 degrees, mm-hmm. and nobody come
in the summer,
they still got insurance and all that.
Really?
Insurance and all that.
So the insurance policy basically pays out and says if we don't get people sitting here,
you still gotta pay it. You mm-hmm. still gotta pay for it.
You gotta pay the premium, yeah, right?
You still gotta pay for it.
Okay.
Commissions is where they get their money. Commissions and sponsorships.
Gotcha. And licensing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ticket sale. That's why you can get tickets for free, bulk tickets, whatever.
Yeah.
Tickets is not a large percentage of revenue generating for a sports team or even a facility or whatever.
Gotcha. Because they just want you interested in
the game. They want you to get there.
Yeah.
Then spend that money.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's it, man. We got made better, sir. You know, I got tickets to go to the Braves game next week.
So, how'd you get them?
I bought them. Yeah.
For how much though?
I got really good seats. So
okay.
You know, the specifics. We know what happens. When I say specifics. the specifics hit different. People's like, wait,
he spent that much on a Braves?
Yeah.
But yeah, but so. Ticket sales in general. Now there might be some teams that's always an exception, but in general, ticket sales are not a driving force when it comes to because they want you to get there. You'll spend more money when you get there versus spending a ton to get there and just sitting there and don't do nothing.
It's like the movie concept, right? They keep the movie ticket at a certain price, get you there, you buy concessions, all that other stuff, right? So, and then the people make the movie, they want you to go see the movie because then that means you're more likely to buy merchandise that's associated with the movie and all that other stuff, right? Speaking of that exact model, it's time for a commercial.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, man. So
get it to them one time.
One time real quick, man. So if you guys ever want to support the show, easiest thing to do is share the stream. Tell people just, hey, man, I'm watching this podcast on Facebook and on YouTube. And we support that, man. We appreciate that energy. And then also, if you ever want to be a financial help to the show, you can make a donation using Cash App. Smallwood Media is a cash tag. Or you can go over to the Etsy store. Smallwood Media is the Etsy store. And you can buy some merchandise, man. You can buy one of those snazzy shirts that Ray's got on. And ladies, if you want to, you know, have a tank top, you can buy one of those tank tops too. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's all good. See, look at you. You didn't even see that I was flipping the camera over onto you.
You better have.
Exactly. Exactly. You hit the model. You hit that model. See, look at that, man. That's that synergy there, man.
Yeah, man.
Look, man. It takes years to build that kind of chemistry up, and we got it in months, sir. You know, that's because we, like you would say, we the best out here doing it, so. So, yeah, man, we got more stuff coming, too, like more merchandise. Hoodies are coming.
Oh, yeah. It's almost hoodie season.
It's almost hoodie season, so we got the hoodies coming online. I'm going to order some samples. I got some stuff I'm going to order for you. I got some samples. I'm working on some ideas. So we going to get some samples in, and I want you to tell me what you think, and we can tweak it out and stuff like that. But yeah, man, we also got some more. I got some really good ideas for other like giveaway merch, but we'll talk offline. We don't give them all that right now. So, but yeah, man, it's great ways to support the show. Easiest way though, share the stream. That's the easiest thing.
Tune in and share.
Tune in and share. That's it, man. Tune in and share. So if you're a part of a Facebook group, that's another thing. If you're part of a Facebook group and you know they got a large viewership or membership of the group, and they don't mind you sharing content to promote stuff, and then promote the show, man. It really helps. Jeritha says, yep, more money, more problems. If you think these PWIs are clean, you're mistaken. Exactly. Like the NCAA just gives, like, it's just like, they catch what they catch, but there's all kind of stuff going on underneath the covers.
And then even when they catch someone's brought to their attention, the way that they handle it, it's just,
Simone out here being messy, talking about it's almost gray sweatpants season two.
Yeah,
That's, well, yeah.
I got some on right now, actually.
We ain't gonna model that, sir. We're not gonna model that.
I really do.
Ladies, y'all gonna have to hit Ray's DMs up for any of that.
Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Last time I posted a picture, you know what I'm saying? It was all kinds of backlash and comments and shade and everything else.
No controversy is bad controversy, sir.
Y'all gotta hit me directly.
That's it. That engaging marketing angle. So.
Yeah.
Horrible. I tell you, man, the podcast is troubling, man. I guess the last I want to say, man, before we spend some time on this men versus women stuff, the 65 versus the 35 is Timon told you to stay seated, man. paying athletes.
She said,
man,
stay seated.
She said stay seated. look, man. I could say more, but I'm not gonna say that on the podcast. I got more I could say about that. As far as paying athletes, though, man, I think it's fundamentally un-American to not pay athletes. And then too, I think
for the love of the game,
right? Like the optics are bullshit too, right? Like I get, you know, I just wish white people could understand how much my skin crawls as a black man when I hear a white person tell me that I'm not supposed to want money. And then the whole time you telling me that is because you want the money. It's like that makes my skin crawl. Like it just sets fire to my ass when that happens, man.
Happy with what you got, boy.
Be happy with what you got. You're getting education. Ain't you getting education?
Oh, yeah, people. I mean, that's always people like, oh, they're getting a free education. Like,
yeah, like I wish the people who were saying that would understand just how dumb they, like, how dumb do you think I am? It's like, you know, like, yeah.
You're a football player, very, very much so.
You must be dumb. You must be dumb. So, you know, that is just such a entrenched narrative. You know, that's just such an entrenched narrative unfortunately in our country where we believe like, oh, we're supposed to take less because somebody said so. It's like, no, you have just as much right to that money as anybody else does. So why would you, you know, you're the one producing the talent. Like, why would you not want something out of that? You know, anyway. That's my thoughts, man. Anything else about these paying players, man? This college athletic stuff, man. This is going to be an ongoing conversation.
It will be an ongoing conversation.
So we don't want
kind of like snow cones and
being financially attractive, man. Let me say this because people listen, and people might come along and listen. I might want to hear this and may not have gotten the wrong message. I was not on a date yesterday. I was just trolling. That's what I was doing. I was trolling. I was producing engaging, engaging marketing angles, EMAs. That's what I was doing. So
I know this.
You know this.
Of course.
But some people were liking my stuff a little too hard. Like, it was just like, nah, we ain't out here on no snow cone date.
You know, funnel cakes either.
Funnel cakes either.
I don't even know where you can get a funnel cake outside of like Six Flags or going to some type of carnival affair. Like just go and get a funnel cake from somewhere?
I don't know. I've never tried to go get a funnel cake. This is a good question. This is a good project. This might be something, a trivia. This might be kind of like a scavenger hunt.
Go find somewhere you can go get everyday, a funnel cake.
Everyday funnel cake. That's a good question, man. Like, I never thought about it. Like, yeah, like, I've never been able to buy, I've never won a funnel cake other than like at a fair.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Yeah, I don't know. And I know you can buy the mix. Like, you can buy the mix all the time, like from the store to make funnel cakes with. Like, they make a mix. You know, that you can buy and just mix up and make your own funnel cake. Yeah, like, I never thought about that. Like, this is high power podcast content right now. Like, we're trying to figure out where the hell to get funnel cakes from at random times.
If y'all got an answer, let us know.
Yeah, but let's see.
Yeah, I know we can make them. No.
Jaretha says there's a funnel cake restaurant in Gwinnett.
What?
Yeah. That's what she says. Man, look. Yeah. A funnel cake restaurant in there. Yeah. And she says there's a couple around the metro area. Look, I'm curious. Now I'm really curious. Like, small bites, funnel cakes edition.
I feel like I need to pull up now.
That's it. Because I feel like that's some content there, sir. just walk in there. They be like, why y'all got this camera? Don't worry about that. We're here for the funnel cakes, you know. If Jameson made some beignets at home, he can make a funnel. He can make a funnel cake. I never made beignets. I never made beignets, but I could make beignets. You know, it's just cooking. Yeah, man. People just think I can do everything in the kitchen. That's cool.
Let them keep that narrative.
No. I know. Yeah. I mean, that helps. That helps, man. But funnel cakes all over the place, man. Man, funnel cake restaurants. Yeah. We got to see what the price is looking like, too.
Exactly.
We was at the shit on it.
I'm going to go in there seeing all kinds of couples in there. But that's it. I told y'all.
I just shaming people. Like, is this your first day? Like, yeah, this is our first day. What's your name? My name, Mike.
I'm telling you, man.
That's it. I'd be like, what's your name? My name is... My name is Stephanie. Stephanie, how do you feel about being on a funnel cake date?
Get funneled your first date.
Get funneled. Hashtag funneled. Getting funneled on your first date. Oh, man. Oh, man. This is horrible, man. This is horrible. Yes, the Blue Cup has kicked in. Just so people can understand, if we ever want to get the liquor sponsorship popping, this is Absolute Grapefruit. What you drinking, man? What you drinking? People care about
Goose.
Grey Goose.
Yes.
Yes. You almost didn't have any Grey Goose, man. I got into that bottle. And
apparently.
Look, man. Look.
It's below the mountains.
Look. It's below the mountains. That's it. It's below. Is it the valley?
Yeah. Or the plateaus.
The plateaus. Plains. Oh man, that was I can't even talk about that. That just was.
I don't even know where that bottle came from. That wasn't there last time.
Nah, I upgraded. I went and got us a.
Yeah,
a
I was about to say that wasn't there.
If you like Goose, man, I keep that in the stock. I keep
this
that
is the first time I had Goose in a minute.
All right, we'll keep that in the stock. Then
whatever, we just keep it.
Yeah, man, we try to let people know, man. We got an assortment of beverages, and then that's just,
you'll
that's,
never leave dry.
No, you'll never leave dry, and that's just the stuff in the corner, man. Like that's not even the. That's not even my cabinet, you know what I'm saying? Like my personal cabinet where I got some other stuff. I got to go get another bottle. I'm getting a – I don't even know if I want to talk on the show, but I'm getting a really nice bottle. Celebrating my fourth year contracting. So that's what we're doing, man. It's that year. It came up this month, really. So we're going to celebrate that. Yeah. We gonna have some on the show though. We gonna have some on the show. That ain't every show stuff, but I want you to definitely
celebrate,
partake, and at least toast with me, man. When I bring that bottle home, I got lost. We talking about funnel cakes, and you'll find these funnel cake spots.
We gotta go now.
I'm impressed. Jaretha just pulled that out real quick.
She done been. How many times you done been, Jaretha?
These look, I'm not asking that question, Jaretha. This is coming from the coach.
And I want to know if it's good. Like, if
from a review standpoint.
Yeah.
Because funnel cakes. So we need to explore that. So we would do some research. I gotta wait till next month though. I gotta get my stuff back together, my dieting back together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you was gonna say something about the tricking account.
Oh man. You know what though, the tricking account's been pretty good. I got this year. I had this month. I had to pay taxes, so like I had to get.
I thought
tax
you
situation.
Posted about that,
bruh. I was mad, and then when I looked at what I really
man,
owed,
you didn't find them loopholes, all
dude,
of them,
dude. That's after like I put it this way, I can do better. I do better with the loopholes. I'm gonna do some investigation.
If Amazon ain't gonna pay taxes on billions of profits, I ain't ever paying again. Ever.
That's it. Ever. That's it. Look. You're right. Miss Cassandra says, congrats. Appreciate that, Miss Cassandra. Thank you so much. Jaretha said she's never been. She just saw them on Instagram.
Saw them on IG. Okay. Yeah.
And
field trip.
Field trip, yeah.
Hey, who trying to pull up to the funnel cake shop with us?
You know, you know what? We need
that's what we're gonna do right there, just off the top.
That's it. That's it. And that's and knowing funnel cakes. That should be approachable. We should in our little bootstrap budget, we should be able to do funnel cakes.
Yeah, so that's gonna be fun.
So yeah, man, if y'all down to get some funnel cakes with us, we're gonna find a spot that's kind of central and to the city or whatever. And those people who are in Atlanta who wanna hang out with us, we'll make a big deal out of it. When's your birthday coming up, man?
You said when who?
When's your birthday coming up?
November.
You want to do it then, or you want to do something else?
Yeah, we go get some funnel cake for my birthday.
Yeah, that sounds like a cross pollination. Yeah, man. So
all right, yeah, we get the deets to y'all.
Promotionally, yeah. Because we out here clowning, but funnel cake's good as hell.
Every time Six Flags, I got to get one.
Hot out the grease?
Out like, the grease.
Man, that's what they come
out the grease.
With that powdered sugar everywhere? Bro, Like, bro, phone case used to change my life as a kid, man, during them festivals, man. Get you a damn funnel cake.
All in the face.
That's it. Powder everywhere, man. You get you a funnel cake, man. That's a top-notch. That's top-notch carnival food, man. It is. So, man, we got to get to this. We got to our last topic for tonight, man. We wrapping up. We got time, too, because we're early, so we'll hang around and do a turn-down episode with them, man. And
so, we talking about the article, or we talking about – are we talking about AB today?
Man, I
turn
don't know.
Turn down. All right, yeah, go to the article.
Because if we talk about AB, man, people don't – like, because the thing is –
why can't we not – we can talk about the situation without choosing sides or just – well, anyway, but we'll talk about it on the turn down, okay, man. Right. We're going to go to that article.
I respect your programming your programming on that, your production on that, sir. So the article we saw was posted as an attack, I think, against the 35. So
the 35.
So people understand who are watching, especially people on YouTube who don't know the dynamics. The breakdown of our group on Facebook is our page on Facebook is roughly we got 65% women who watch the show, and we get 35%
a strong 35,
a growing 35 who are men who watch the show.
A battered 35.
That's it. A battered and bruised 35 who are constantly under attack and under assault. And being questioned in ways that I wouldn't wish upon my worst enemy, but 35% we're strong. So, shout out to Gloria for posting this. One of the members of the Dot Gang.
Dot Gang.
I like that. That's a good hashtag.
I know, right? They got to get them some shirts. That's Dot
it.
Gang.
That Dot Gang. That's it. Gang. So, we were talking about this article, and basically the premise of the article is simple: women are not getting married because they don't find men to be financially attractive. So meaning they ain't making enough money or they don't have enough wealth, however you want to define financial attractiveness. Women ain't seeing enough money in the men's pockets or coming into the men's lives to consider them as suitable mates. So that is the general gist of the article. Sir, what is your response to that at first blush? Because I think you actually read through the article. I didn't read through the article. I just got incited by the headline.
I did read through it just because I wanted to see what kind of crazy experiment they did. and just to see what criteria they were using.
That's it.
To define the economically attractiveness. And then they made it at 40,000, and then I stopped reading.
Do you think that's too low? You think that's too high?
That is
too low. I think the women are in agreement with you that that's too low. That's too low.
The male should be too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to need for you to slow down.
Aspire.
Yeah, aspire for more.
Aspire for more.
And that's where you at, and you talking about raising a family. No, sir, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's not going to work great. You know, like, that's not going to...
Might be some trials and tribulations there, sir.
Look, man, one of the things
they said bachelor degree or 40,000.
Ooh, or so because we know what or means. Or ain't the same as and. So yeah. Yeah, I don't think anyone's gonna marry me because I got a bachelor's degree. Like, it's got to be like, it's got to result in income, right?
Yeah, it's gotta, like, this has to be a the correlation has to be high.
and that's just not there,
because there's people out here with bachelor degrees that ain't even getting 40.
That's true. And I know we always look at the job descriptions posted at different places. I see those come across my timeline from time to time for people looking at jobs.
Bro,
and stuff.
They be on 12 years of experience.
25K.
Yeah, for $12.50.
That's it. 25K with benefits. Like, what? Like, what benefits can I buy making 25K and then have some take home money? Like, what can I do?
No, that's it, man.
It's amazing the money that people have, the money that, how little money people are getting paid. That's another conversation for another day. Like, how wealth is shifting with income, you know.
So if you're making 40K, like, and you had a child, like, how much is the average household pay on daycare expenses?
Yeah, Yeah, daycare expenses. Not to mention, just let's assume the child is up of age, like maybe 5 or 6 or 7, where they start doing extracurricular activities, like where you're trying to take them to karate or something like that.
Extracurricular. That's what it.
And, I mean, and then you think about like vacation too. Like, oh, I want to take the I want to go on a vacation. You know what I'm saying, with the wifey. Like, I can't take her nowhere. You know, we can take our asses. Like,
you better go to work. That's it. Try to get some overtime or something.
That's it. You better go to Bay work. Yeah, like, you know, that's it.
Yeah. So I mean, so when they made the 40,000, the line. Or whether being attractive economically or not, I pretty much tune out then.
But you know what, though, man? You'll be surprised. Let me pull this up while we talk about this, man. The actual number, the actual average for household income is surprisingly low. Let's see here.
I won't be surprised at it, but because there are some rural places out here that.
Yeah, it says the median household income.
Probably under 30, ain't it?
No.
What is it at?
It's really $59,000 as of 2016.
Yeah, but that's joint, right?
Yeah, that's everybody. That's factoring everybody into the household.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so for an individual, you know, pretty much if you divide it in half,
And even if you give some play for disparity,
either way, but still.
So you say maybe men make 35 and women make 25. Yeah, that's about right. I mean that, and then you think about like. That's really low. Like this chart here. I can show you this chart because we got the technology to show y'all stuff. This chart here. Look at y'all, man, getting us into this, into giving, like, pulling up Fed charts and stuff, man. Like, man, where else y'all gonna get this, man? Drunken. We went from funnel cakes to the Fed income reports, and you can't hardly see it because it's such a small chart on your screen. But maybe I can zoom in here a little bit. Well, can I zoom? Anyway, just so you can see the chart, the graph, basically the peak there is a little over 60K for the household income. I remember one time, you know, because I used to hear that number, and I thought that was like a big number, but like 50,000 was like the
50,000 here in Atlanta is like you just.
Yeah.
Just. Good. Like, you had a point to where you'd be like, all right.
That's it. Yeah. And I mean, you think about it, like, because you, I mean, 60K roughly is about $30 an hour.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? If y'all ain't know how you do it, you just multiply the hourly times two.
Yeah. Times two.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We give them too much.
We're giving y'all jewels.
That's
right
it.
Now.
That's it. You want to know your yearly.
Yeah.
That's
give
it.
Or take,
give
but,
or take.
Yeah.
It's an estimate. But yeah. But that's what we're dealing with there. Oh, I need to flip back over here. I got y'all seeing just the feed. My bad. Us frozen up. Yeah, that's it. That's the blue alcohol. That's the glue cup. Got me being laid on the switches. Yeah, laid on the switches. But yeah, so I mean that's what you're talking about. So like financial fitness is like, 40 ain't enough. Like, you know, 40 ain't enough.
that's all you can say.
That's it. That's all I can say. And I know women. And I know women. And I'm not gonna.
I mean, if y'all want to add y'all 40s together and make it 80, but then
we need. I hope the women will share. I don't even want to say anything.
Somebody
but,
call in.
Oh yeah,
please.
Let me do this. I forgot to do this.
Somebody call in. Drop the number down there.
Monique wanted to call in too. So let me get this. Let me get all this
somebody but Monique call in.
So anybody but Monique. No, you know what though? Me and Monique have been we have had a great synergy today. We have been in agreement on a lot of different topics.
Oh man.
So I support Monique calling in and having her voice heard
but
by the multitude.
But so as I read the article and I saw that number, I already kinda made me question everything else in the article.
It just seems low.
It very much so.
And I'm not judging. We're not judging people, obviously, right? But
I guess with us being here in a metropolitan, a prominent metropolitan city, we just like what? 40,000?
Is that all? Is that all there is?
Yeah. Oh, all right. But I mean, you might be somewhere else in the U.S. and 40,000. You like might be doing good.
If I was back home making 40,
oh yeah, you'd be living large, sure.
Like, you couldn't tell me nothing. You know, I'd be showing up to the club, getting everybody in, but like the little hole in the wall. I'm like, hey man, hey fam, everybody.
I got $5 of everybody.
$5 for everybody, man. Everybody come through, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, we be balling out of control, yeah,
so,
man.
So it does come with a frame of perspective. But from our point.
That's it.
Yeah, definitely it, not.
If you like to call into the show tonight,
need to add a zero on that.
Bro. If you like to call to the show tonight, man, telephone number is 404-913-3245. The telephone number is 404-913-3245. It's down in the comments, so you can call into the show and give your opinion. Ladies, do y'all have a number in mind? Let's be honest.
And keep keep it 100.
This is a safe place, mostly. For the 65 is safe. For us,
it ain't. Because y'all outnumber.
Y'all are numbers. But what is...
They come out of Woolwell like the Powerpuff Girls.
That's it. Charge it forward. What is the number that y'all have in mind that you would be comfortable... Like, you can give me the minimum. Like, what's the minimum number that you think a guy has to make for you to date him and take him serious as a possible husband's candidate? So, I just want to know. I hope we get some numbers. I've heard a number... I heard a number recently. I'm not gonna reveal that number. That number was high. That's all I'm gonna say. That number was up there, bro. Yeah. That number was up there, you know. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, whatever.
I really wanna be on some other stuff right now. Yeah. But I'm keeping it. I'm trying to keep it cool, anyway, man. Anyway, I want to be with some other stuff real so bad.
What was your number for yourself? Like, if you was like, okay, I want to get married or whatever, but I want to be to XYZ, what was the dollar amount for you?
Man, the dollar amount. I mean, I think, and I don't know, this might have been naive.
Or just go generic. What do you think a legit dollar amount, just generically speaking, not necessarily for yourself, but
sure. I mean, I'll speak. I mean, I can. I don't mind answering that. I mean, your first way, you asked it in the second way too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought when I was growing up, mm-hmm. I just thought if I made $50,000 a year, then I was going to be doing well, you know. And don't get me wrong, as a single man, no kids, who doesn't travel.
Or travels maybe once.
Exactly, right? Like, just modest, uh-huh. you know, hanging out, going to, like, you know, Applebee's.
Yeah, about to say.
You know, like, that's a good time. Oh,
you know how they feel about Applebee's.
That's it, right? That's a good time for me, you know.
Yeah. Then you good. Yeah,
I was good. In my 20s, early 20s, man, like, I was like 20, what was it, 23 making 50 a year. I was like, all right, this is it. But then when you start having aspirations like, oh, I want to have a house and I want to drive a car that ain't 15 years old and like you start having things you need to progress towards, it becomes like, oh, man, I need more money. So it went from. I need another 50. Like, you begin to think, like, I need another 50. How am I going to get that other 50, you know? And then you start thinking too, like, I think for me, like, if my household number probably was like 100, like the household needs to make 100. Because I felt like that was approachable for two college educated adults.
Yeah, six figure.
Together, right?
Yeah, like a six figure household.
That's it, right? That means you're making 50, at least 50, or I'm making 50. I might be making 60, you're making 40, but we should be able to do this, like, between two of us. And so, I mean, that's what I was thinking. But what about you? What, did you have a...
Oh, that's what I would have said. I said the six-figure household, mm-hmm. however we got to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was kind of the thing, man. Because, I mean, and don't get me wrong, you probably ain't living this crazy Instagram lifestyle with that. But, you know, you can do some things. You know,
yeah, you can
do some things. You can...
As long as you got... as long as you financially healthy, you can do some things with that.
That's it. Because the thing is, you know, my dad said this to me, and I don't know if he got this from somebody else, because it sounded a little too good to be coming from him by himself, but he could be just that wise in his years, and I give him props for this. He said, it ain't about how much money you make, it's about how much you can save. And it sounds a little bit like, kind of like, huh, that doesn't make sense, because you can't save money unless you make money. But that's his point. It was like, you can make a bunch of money and still spend a bunch of money, and you haven't saved anything, you know. So he's like, it's about how much you save, really, and then whatever you got to do to save money, I mean, you got to make more or whatever, then you do the things to promote that. So, telephone number, man, is telephone number is 404-913-3245. Man, we would love to hear from somebody tonight, man.
Somebody call in.
So
man.
Yeah, if y'all want to call in, man. But that's the number I thought. That's the number I thought it was, man. Like, I thought it was like 50 was gonna be heavy. Good.
This 50 hit different.
It does. It hit different. And I mean, I grew up, man. Like, you know, I'm not gonna put my parents' business out there, but let's just say my parents, at least the stuff I got to see when I was doing my FAFSA, uh-huh. my parents didn't really make that much. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, at least they just, you know, we grew up very modest. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like running the air conditioner in our household was like a luxury item. Like folks be wilding. Like, you know, they was giving me a hard time about what I called a luxury item. Like, I'm talking about a smartphone's a luxury item. And I still think it is a luxury item, because I think you can get a flip phone and it's still rock and roll, right? But yeah, people were like, you know, I'm like, that's how I grew up, man. Like an air conditioner, running the air conditioner, like in the summer in South Georgia was like a luxury item. Like, bro, it was just hot. It was like, that's all I remember. That's why I keep my house cold now, man. That's why I keep my house cold. So, Simone says, too many other things come into play. I need more than just finances to make me want to date him. I mean, yeah, we understand that, Simone. We ain't saying that, but we talking about the money tonight. Like, so.
We're talking about the money right now.
Right now, right but now.
I appreciate that energy, Simone.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Apparently, tank tops would make her. Boy, this is good. I don't know. This is good, man. It's just good. We know. Look, man.
Oh, man.
Let's see here. Christina Jarvis says $45,000 career, $30,000 if a new business owner, a newer business owner. I can go with that. Man, shout out to Christina, man. Hey, I don't recognize that name, so shout out to you for tuning in with us tonight. We appreciate that. Yeah, Simone says there's just too many other things that go into that. And I get it, you know, but I got to be honest. And this is probably why I move the way I move.
Mm-hmm.
I think money is so underappreciated in the relationship dynamic. I think we think about the obvious things like sex, maybe like some type of spiritual compatibility, those kind of things. You know, we think about certain core values, but like, man, you need some money to be married. Like, I'm just saying people don't think about that. And I don't think in our conversation, like, you need to have, you got to have money, man. Like, cause the thing is, like, when you think about all the stressors that come into a marriage, not having money is like,
it's just gonna magnify. Oh,
bruh. It's just, everything gets worse, man. It's like, you think about like, oh, I got to, you know, like taking the kids back and forth to like extracurricular stuff. That sounds trivial for people with working cars. But let something happen where your car tears and you ain't got the money to get your car fixed. Like, you got to wait and the kids got to go and you got to try to get them there.
Let something be wrong with the Corsica.
No, oh, bro. That's it. The Corsica. The Corsica. What you know about the Corsica, man? That's throwback there, man. Let something be wrong with the Corsica, man. You ain't got no, you got a bad tire. You know, you up there creeping around like, bro. Like, it just, and I'm not saying people should build their relationships based on money. But I think money is one of those pillars of your marriage that you gotta have in place, man. Like that needs to just work on autopilot. You know, it doesn't, we know that, but it needs to. Like, you need to be planning and saying, hey man, this is how much we're gonna save. This is what we're gonna commit ourselves to being willing to spend on a vacation or some kind of discretionary thing. This is what we're gonna spend on our kids' extracurricular stuff. That's gonna have a budget. Like if you don't have a plan for money. And I'm not just talking about making money, but like a plan for the money you made, then bro, you're gonna have some trouble in your marriage, man. Like you're gonna have hell on your hands. I think about like my parents. And I think about my parents, and I'm not, once again, I'm putting their business out there, but I think about the challenges that they face in their marriage. A lot of them came back to money, like resources, having the resources they needed to live their life. And my parents didn't take vacations and do all that stuff, man. We did a little bit of that when we were really young. But once we got to about, I'd say probably like 7, 8, ain't no family vacations, man. You better ride in the yard and play during the summer. Like, that was our vacation. Like, go out to the country and hang out with your cousins and stuff. Like, that was the kind of stuff we did. And it wasn't because my parents were anti-vacation. Where's the money gonna come from? You know what I'm saying? So, like, once I got older and started making money and started spending money, I realized, like, damn, like, this is, like trying to live like this is expensive as hell. Like, it costs some money to live like this. And then you start thinking about, I'm like, damn, I see why my parents didn't do this. Like, they just weren't going to spend that kind. They just didn't have the money to spend. And my dad was like, nah, I ain't gonna do that. Cause he actually earned his money by his hustle.
Crawling on the houses.
That's it. Crawling on the houses. Exactly. Like living his dream, man. Living his dream. Out there pursuing his own selfish ambition, right? For the family, right? You know? So you just have to, like, You just have to make hard decisions. You have your decisions are harder and your options are fewer, I think, when you don't have money. So I think that while the article, we make fun of the amount, I think it is a real conversation, like the financial fitness of a mate. It is. You know. Now, do you think about that when you date, about how much a woman should make? Or, you know, is that like you go there and say, like, okay, you fine as hell, but I wonder what that credit in that bank account look like.
I mean, credit, just because that shows like you're just your financial health in general.
Mm-hmm.
You need a job.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, that's pretty much it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Would you date a woman who made more than you? These are questions, sir.
I know.
Yeah, these are really good questions. You know. Would you do
that? I'm good. Yeah.
You're good. You wouldn't do that? You wouldn't do that?
No, I'm saying I'm good.
Oh, you would do it?
Yeah. 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 Like, am I secure enough? Yes, yeah. I am.
Pick me.
Yeah.
Pick me. Yeah, man. I think that got to be, I mean.
Would you? You know, you being Mr. Provider. Oh. Would you think that would be a motivation for you? Like, I got to get out here and get it.
See, I mean, my thing is, so.
Clearly, she sees something else in you outside of money, so.
So, I do have a story. I got a hashtag story time. I can bring a story time to this. And I'm speculating, so, because I've never had this conversation at any point in time with her, so I don't want to, we just never sat down and talked about that. Now, I have had that conversation with other women I've dated about that, but I haven't had it in my context with her. I'm pretty sure she probably, if she doesn't, I'm pretty sure she makes more money than me. Like, I'm pretty sure that. Like, I'm pretty sure that this particular interest at one point in time that she makes more money than me. And so it's a different game, right? Like you have to shift your proposition, right? Like, as a guy like me, yeah, I lead with the provider mindset. You know, I lead with the, hey, this is the kind of life that I can help give you. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's perks to hanging around me, right? Like, I lead with that.
Yeah, you got to flip up your whole spiel.
I do. It goes from that to being more of, I can be a partner and I can contribute with you. You know what I'm saying? It's a different game, right? It's a whole different angle.
I can be Scotty to your Jordan.
Exactly. I can be Scotty to your Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, like, I got to, like, my job, you going, like, when you introduce me, like, that's my value proposition. Like, people going to be like, you know, it's going to be some question there, like, does he make more than you? Does he make as much as you? So, you know, it goes to that. But, like, I'm really cool with that. I mean, this particular person has paid for dates, you know, picked up the check. And actually, another person in that space, I'm pretty sure, might make more than me. So, like, another person I've had a chance to go out with.
I think it comes to, like, if you're at a point to where you're doing well for yourself and she's just happen to be excelling over that, then you're just like.
Yeah, because it's never.
Tip your cap. Like, I'm doing good. Like,
yeah.
Just because you're doing better don't mean I'm doing bad.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so. Like, yeah, dude, I just want to keep the disparity low, right? Yeah. Like, I might not ever, I might like, okay, man, I'm 20K behind. I can make that up in bonuses and side work and hustle, you know, but it ain't a competition. That's what I really look at. It's not a competition. Like, as long as she doesn't try to emasculate me and use money as a tiebreaker, well, I make more than you, so we're going to do whatever the hell I say. It's like, I'm cool with a woman making more than money than me, you know, and I'm cool with that. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, I that's how I look at it. Like, you know, I don't ever see it as like, oh, damn, this is a pissing match. Like, nah, that's not it. You know, like I said, as long as we respect each other, like, the value proposition changes, right? So then it comes, then it's about, hey, does she really want to just be with me? Cause it ain't about my money. Cause she got money. So it's like, it ain't about that. Now it's just, we can build together. We can combine and do better together. So, you know, that's how I process that. So that's been my experience with that. You know, it's kind of weird when she pulls out her card and she's like, I got this. I'm like, you sure? Like, she's like, yeah, I got this, you know? And then it's just like, oh, okay. Well, you know, put this wallet.
How you feel when that happens? Do you still want to pay? Do you still be like, I appreciate the offer, but
nah, I let her pay. I love the page. Nah, because see, the thing is, and see, I had to learn this pretty quick. Uh-huh. If a woman is making that much money, uh-huh. then she's liberated, right? In her mind okay. And in her career. And I'm not saying she's free from male manipulation, but mm-hmm. what I'm saying is she ain't thinking about the traditional yeah. role there because she doesn't have to, right? So at that point, I got to contribute to this dynamic yeah. a different uh-huh. way. I got to win this on personality and being a compliment, you know, and not the necessarily leading, right, in that area. So there's got to be other values there that I'd put on display other than, oh, I'm a provider because she can provide for herself. So at that point, she's just like, can we do this together? And then I got to show her that we can do it together. So. And Austin says here, what about a woman?
What's a lot? Define a lot.
To make a lot more than you. That's a good question, right? Because I'm talking about, like, I'm thinking I'm kind of close, but I could be completely off. I don't know.
Yeah, so because what you say, you like, 20,000, all right, whatever. But what are we talking about, like, a whole nother salary between?
Let's say she makes twice as much as I do. Yeah. That would be.
Your snugging got to be good.
Bruh. Your snugging, your vacuuming. Things change.
Mowing the grass.
That's it. Mowing the grass. Like, look, man. Like, look. You're like, look.
Car wash. Look, detail.
I've already considered all of this, man. I can say, if I ever date a woman who makes more than me, I'm getting an apron that has culture and conversations on it. I'm gonna make sure her. I'll make sure her car is always serviced. I'm like, what you need? All right, you know, I got you. I'm taking the kids away from the house. Like, look, bro. You know, I've actually seen this example. I had a friend. I had a friend who passed away a couple years ago, and his wife was the primary breadwinner for the family because he was in ministry, but he had been a lawyer. He had been successful, so he had his own money too, right? But he wasn't bringing in no new money. He had that old money. So she was bringing in she was bringing in money into the household every, you know what I mean? So, like, mm-hmm. she was still working at that high level as in a bank executive. So, Teresa talking about, I got this. Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's funny. That's funny.
Die gang.
That's a die gang. Die gang. Folks, they shitting on my happiness, man. Any little happiness. Like, no, you can't have any happiness. But I saw how they worked in their dynamic where she was supportive of him and the ministry work. And at the same time, though, he took care of all the household stuff. He cooked, he cleaned, he was very much affectionate in the household area. He displayed, hey, I appreciate this. But she still very much was respectful of him in that traditional husband role as a leader and, you know, provider for the family in other ways. So, yeah, that's what we saw. That's what I saw from them. So it's like I've seen every dynamic. So, but I haven't run into that. Like I said, with these women who I believe who I believe make as much or more than me, I haven't run into any of the emasculation stuff.
I'll be willing to try.
That's my mindset. I'm like, let's see, because shit, making more than them hasn't worked. Like that hasn't worked. You know what I'm saying?
Apparently, nothing worked. Nothing works.
So let's see what happens if I make less than them. Let's see how that works. Let's see what that life be like. You know, shoot. I like getting that phone call. Like, I got plans for us. Oh, you do? Let me. Excuse me.
What I need to pack.
Let's see. What I need to pack. Let me get ready. You know, shoot, man. I'm cool with that, man. And it doesn't even have to be anything that elaborate, man. It's like, it's just we do what we can. So, you know, I mean, she's reached to pay for the tip. Like, I'm like, I'm cool. I got this. You know, it's cool. You know. And I don't know if she's doing that. I don't, because once again, we don't sit down and talk about money like that. You know. And I don't do that with my dates. I don't be like, hey, let's talk about money. So, but yeah, man, it's cool to just have those experiences when that happens. It's interesting. I don't, you know, because I think once you got, I think once it, because the thing is, she ain't looking for a come up. You know, she ain't looking for a come up. So she's looking for a mate. So everybody talking about don't believe James. Why can't they believe me, Jerutha? Why can't they believe me, man? Anyway. I'm just saying, I'm very much about men providing, you know. But you know, if you run into a situation where she got it, you know,
she got it,
you know, like so, it's just you might as well enjoy if she wants to share that with you. You know what I'm saying? So, man, we financially fit. Have we done any? Have we? Is there anything else more that we can say about that financially attractive? Like,
I just thought the whole article was some bull.
Yeah. Them articles be sensational to get you to click on them. That was like that.
As if that would be the only reason why a male, they didn't even give a, did they even give? I don't think they did. I don't even think they gave an age.
Oh, they didn't give any perspective on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't give an age or none of that. So
yeah,
that. But as if that was the only reason why a male out of their criteria, their sample set, mm-hmm. wouldn't be married just because of a woman thought he was unattractive. And then, like, maybe I just don't want to be married. How about that?
There could be that case too. It could be that case too. And I don't think the question you asked, we can say that question for the turn down where you were talking about, is there any benefit to getting married at this point in time? Ooh, like that's a because I mean, I've had, let's say that for the turn down.
Questions that need the question answers.
That we going so so what we going to do, y'all, we going to shift over here and do another episode for you guys, man. So people on YouTube, man, we will post, we're going to be back here soon. We'll do another episode. We're going to call it hashtag the turn down. So yeah, man, come hang out with us, man. And yeah, man, you guys know where everything's at. Culture and Conversations is all over the place, man. We got 500 people liking and over 500 some people following our page on Facebook. That's a big deal. That's in 2 years. So, you know, now that we got much more reach, we're going to keep on pushing and pushing and pushing. We appreciate y'all rocking with us, man. So we're going to refill these cups if we need to, use the bathroom if we need to, and then we're going to get over here and do another episode because we want to talk about that, man. We want to talk about that. We could stay on the stream and do it, but we want to kind of keep the streams until about an hour and a half or so, and then that gives people a chance to watch them, and then we get back over here and talk about some of these other stuff. Because this next conversation, some real decisions are going to have to, some real things are going to have to be said. So with that, let me fade us out here on this one, and then we'll be back in about 5 minutes with the hashtag the turndown. So.